for women and children in crisis since 1955. There's been a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care and where lives have been changed and are being changed. That's at the Evangel Home of Fresno. And thanks for joining us for the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. This is Heartline with your host, Jim Tuck.
Ken, thanks so much as always. It's a pleasure. We sit in Jerry Brenneman's office and contemplate where this conversation is going to go, because we never know when we turn on the mic. We just kind of let God lead things. Jerry, we have Tamar with us. Tamar has been with us before, but bring us up to speed a little bit on her, and then we're going to ask her to tell her story and find out what God is doing in her life and through her life here at Evangel Home.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I think I'm just going to use the example I used here just a minute ago as kind of a joke, but I had said that there's people in my life that I would want in charge of my lifeboat if I were on one, and people I wouldn't. And Tamar is one that I would. And that tells me that she's rock solid. She's going to make good decisions. She can handle an emergency. She's trustworthy. What she says she's going to do, she does. I don't mean to make her sound like a perfect person. She's obviously not, or she wouldn't be sitting around this table with us.
Right.
But she is. She just, everything about her, you want her in charge of your lifeboat. You would trust your life with this woman. And it's just been fun to get to see her grow into that kind of young woman, to see the child she has given birth to while she's been here, to know the kind of life she wants for him, to trust us to build into that little guy. It's, as the kids would say, it's all good. Right now with Tamar, it's all good. It hasn't always been, but right now it is.
Well, Tamar, we've been doing, Jerry and I have been doing this, I don't know, a lot of years, and I've never heard the lifeboat analogy. I've never heard her say, I want this woman in charge of my lifeboat. So that says something special about her opinion of you and who you are in her life. Let's back up. Tell us, we want to find about, going to go back in time and find out where your world was, and then a time of transition, and then we'll bring you up to speed with what today is in Tamar's life. So you're at Evangel Home because life was kind of upside down. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. Life was, for me, upside down at one point. And my life of insanity, it was kind of taking a toll. And I felt like I wasn't in control. And so with me moving out here and living with my brother and my sister-in-law, I've seen a different side of my life, and that was just something that I didn't want to go through, you know. So I came here, and
can we know some of the specifics? Did you have substance abuse issues, or what was going on?
Yes, I had struggled with addiction and weed, and you know, I drank and I partied a lot, and I didn't want to do that anymore, you know. And so with coming here,
where'd you come from?
I came from down south, where I was living out in Corona and a little bit out in Los Angeles, California. And you know, that's just where I picked up, you know, some of my habits and stuff. And so when I had moved out here last year, you know, I just realized that some of the things that I was going through was just getting old. So when the doors here had opened here at Evangel Home, I just realized that this is where my new beginning was going to be.
So you just felt like the life of poor choices and substance abuse and whatever else may have been part of your world needed to come to an end. What about your family here in the area? Were they supportive? Were they helpful? Or were they part of the problem?
They were a part of the problem, because it didn't get better, you know, until I got here. And
how'd you hear about Evangel Home?
I heard about Evangel Home through the Marjorie Mason Center, because I didn't hear about Evangel Home until I went there seeking help. And so Evangel Home was actually at the top of the list. And so I've called here once before, and I was a little hesitant, and so I called again, and, you know, I came and I did my intake, and, you know, the doors just opened up. It just seemed to get a little easier as, you know, I walked through the doors here. And this, it felt like this was exactly where I needed to be at.
So you came first to the crisis home, and at some point you thought, wow, I need more long-term help. Is that fair?
Yes.
And so you applied for Crossroads?
Yes.
Did you like that process?
No.
It was a process, but it was a process that I was willing to go through to get the help that I was seeking.
What's the hardest part of that? Because it's a long process, Jim. Yeah. They have to, yeah, there's paperwork to do, there's classes to go to, there's counseling, there's interviews. What was the hardest part for you?
I would have to say the interview. The interview, it really had brought out a lot of the things that I've been dealing with for so many years and all of the issues that I've been stuffing and some of the things that I've never even talked about. And so I say that the interview, getting into the Crossroads program, was one of the toughest processes mm-hmm. for me.
You know, Jim, that is a hard thing because it's, if you can imagine, say you're a young woman, you've never been in that situation where you've had a job interview or anything really serious with a group of people where you're trying to present yourself well. And then our Crossroads applicants go through all this 3 or 4 weeks of applying, and part of that is they have an interview with 3 staff members and a resident from Crossroads. Sometimes I'm on that interview panel, sometimes I'm not. But we purposefully have made that a tough time, an uncomfortable time, and we are going to dig and dig and dig. And if someone doesn't want to tell us the answers, we might say no to the program. Or during that time, if often there are things that have come up that someone does not want to share, but we have never said no to anybody that we thought was being honest. Because those things they don't want to share are the things that are going to come up and stop them from succeeding if they don't try to meet them head on. So it can be a very uncomfortable time. And we as staff have learned to be comfortable with silence. So if we ask a question and the poor woman is just becoming a pool of tears on the floor, we're not going to rush to her aid, as cold as that might sound. She's got to know how serious it is. And one of the questions we ask, and Tamar knows this, so I'm not giving any secrets, we've got it so that we ask it in several different ways, but one of them is, suppose you're applying for next door and there's 2 other women applying with you and we have only 1 apartment. Why should you get it? I don't know if you had that question. But if they can't answer that question, then we don't think they really want it that much. Mm-hmm. If they're not willing to fight for it, we've had some who have said, well, I don't really deserve it. I would give it to someone else. It's like, no, that's not the right answer. We want them to fight because it's going to be the hardest thing they've ever done in their life. Mm-hmm. Not to get in, but to stay in. And if they can't fight going in, they're not going to make it.
Wow. How long have you been in the program so far, Tamar?
About 8 months.
So you're getting close to graduation.
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay. So now, were you expecting a child when you came?
Yes.
And that little guy has arrived. Tell me about your son.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
My baby
is
so amazing. He is so gorgeous. He's 2 months.
2 months.
And I'm so infatuated with my son. He's getting bigger.
What's his name?
Marquise.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to just teaching him everything there is to know about God and, you know, just give him the life that he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big responsibility, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a gorgeous little guy. Very content. It's fun to see him, how content he is. And he goes to daycare, and he's out in daycare with, you know, the 90-pound dog that's out there. And, and Chubbs, the dog, will go over and lick his nose once in a while. And he's learning to cope with everything and everybody.
Oh, that's a wonderful visual.
Chubbs will be on TV, by the way, soon. He's a rescue dog, and our daycare director brings him, and it just is a wonderful companion for the kids.
Great. That's a wonderful idea, to have a community pet for the kids out there. So, Tamar, as you look back at your 8 months or so in the program, you've had a lot of classes. And I had a lot of teaching, had a lot of involvement with other women here. But let me ask you, first of all, is there one class that sticks out as being most helpful, something that really opened your eyes to things you needed?
Most definitely the parenting class that we had. A lot of things have stuck out as far as just, you know, giving your child, like, the attention that they need and that they deserve. And especially, corporate punishment, you know, that there's ways around, you know, getting your child to cooperate with you besides, you know, spanking.
Beating or yelling at
them. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that was something that I was raised on is corporate punishment. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I want to try to bypass mm-hmm. with my son and try to, you know, raise him, you know, without that.
You will know you've really turned the corner with that, too, when you're at the grocery store behind somebody who's doing that to their kids. That's going to make you sick to your stomach, and it's going to be hard for you to keep your mouth shut. I have found myself maybe turning to a woman in that kind of situation and saying, what gorgeous kids you have. And they never get mad at me. They usually say thank you. And, of course, I want to say, what are you doing? Yeah. But I don't.
Yeah.
I can't keep my mouth closed at that point.
Yeah, and most of the time, I don't think they're being malicious. They just don't have the tools in their toolbox. They don't understand what's the most effective way to get that teaching thing done. And we're out of time, but I would say we were blessed having raised two boys. And by God's grace, they've turned out okay. And people have said, how'd you do that? I said, you work really, really hard and pray like crazy. you never stop teaching because that teaching point may never present itself again. Yeah. So you never stop. You take every opportunity to teach, even when you're tired, if it's late, if you're sick. You never miss an opportunity to teach the right thing. And so we do have 30 seconds left. What do you tell Tamar, there's a woman out there right now who's listening, who is where you were. What do you tell that sweet lady?
I tell them to don't give up, and there is hope in God, and that there is places for a life of addiction, and Evangel Home is open for that woman in need.
264-4714. If that's you, dear lady, please call now. All right, we're out of time. Jerry, thank you. Tamar, it's great to get back together and see that wonderful smile and those calm eyes. It's a reassuring event. And my listening friend, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. And we look forward to our next opportunity to connect with you here on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
And I'm happy to let you know that anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember, evangelhome.org. That phone number again in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.